Disco.
You haven't heard Masto yet. Masto is different. Disco. Masto is not part of history. Because history repeats itself. The Masto is endless. Never repeats itself. Why should it? The sunset does not repeat itself.
NSA. The NSA tells us they're not doing something, and then we found out totally not.
We use the internet to be ourselves, but governments are building a prison around it. We have to stop them, but how? They seem so vast and powerful. But government spies have a weakness. They can hack anybody, but they can't hack everybody.
Surveillitude. Next.
With respect to the internet and emails, this does not apply to U.S. citizens.
Go on.
The Obama
Obama administration quietly won permission a couple of years ago from a surveillance court to have the NSA search for the communications of Americans, intercepted phone calls and the like.
On the bright side, under this plan, if you like your NSA spy, you get to keep your NSA spy. So that's something. But of course, the government. Oh, stunned.
I had no idea we could keep our same spy.
Folks like the NSA depend on collecting insecure data from tapped fiber. They depend on our mistakes. Mistakes we can fix. The plan? Reset the net. Together, on June 5th, 1 year after Snowden's first NSA story, we all take one powerful step to turn off government spying and turn on freedom. The call is simple. Find some territory of the internet that you can protect from prying eyes. Seize it and hold it. Are you a developer? Promise to add one NSA-resistant feature to your app. Are you an internet user? Promise to try one NSA-resistant privacy tool. And then show a friend. Got a website or Tumblr? Run our splash screen on March 27th to show the world we're resetting the net. This is our moment to rally and realize our power. Without needing anyone's permission, we can decide our future, one that's safe, open, and free. It won't be easy, but if we work hard now, the internet will never be a prison. Reset the net. Are you in? Sign up.
This is WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. I'm Furious George, 103.5, downtown Carrboro, Chapel Hill, broadcasting all the way out into Chatham County, Durham, Hillsborough, over to Raleigh Ways, and also threatened through the internet, where we're fighting to reset the net tonight and take back a little piece of the internet before corporate beasts take that little piece of fun away from us, too. Also, some cool new mixes from DJ Daddy Kev, DJ Nobody, Gaslamp Killer, some others. That's a new one right there in the background. Bam! If you like what you're hearing, go to furiousg.blogspot.com, where you will find all the old shows, all of them, going all the way back into the Free Radio Asheville days when we were broadcasting illegally out of a donated van that had bloodstains in the back. Don't ask me why. It was a van called the Cusimano van. Hand that cuts. Craziness. So, where were we? Yeah, so today we happen to be June 5th fighting to reset the net, take a little piece back from the NSA. If you like what you're hearing, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it. I'm furious.
That's shocking and delightful. But of course, the government couldn't get away with doing things that they swore they weren't doing because of the strictness of the oversight of the nothing they weren't doing.
This program, by the way, is fully overseen not just by Congress, but by the FISA court. It's being carried out consistent with the Constitution and rule of law.
See? But it turns out it wasn't so much rule of law consistent as rule of law adjacent.
new revelations that the NSA, the biggest spy agency in the United States, has been routinely breaking privacy rules.
Rules are made to be broken. What? I'm sorry, wait, no, that's Precious Moments figurines. Those are made to be broken. Rules are made to be followed.
Justice Department, the FBI, the military, to try to get this guy. And our goal initially was to get him and bring him back to the United States.
Critics say National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden was unfairly targeted for his revelations about the agency spying on U.S. citizens across the United States and the world. Whistleblowers and their advocates are fighting back. The American-based ExposeFacts.org seeks to be a venue for whistleblowers to blow their whistle. It aims to, quote, shed light on concealed activities that are relevant to human rights, corporate malfeasance, the environment, civil liberties, and war, and be part of the nonprofit Institute for Public Accuracy.
Well, we will triage the information. We'll sift it out. We will vet it in terms of authenticity and public interest value. And we'll proceed as independent journalists should.
And even though they have said repeatedly that these programs are only used to catch bad guys.
Reports surfacing that some employees at the agency are tracking their love interests,
using the enormous power of the government to eavesdrop on their significant others, or people they'd like to become their significant others.
Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But here's your number of your bank account. Social Security. So call me, or I will continue to monitor your activities.
The internet, aka the electronic cat database. But first, let's take just a moment together and appreciate how amazing the internet is. You can use it to file your taxes, apply for jobs. You can go online right now and buy a case of coyote urine. Do you know how difficult it used to be to obtain coyote urine? You literally had to give a coyote Gatorade and just wait. It was a mess. The system was a mess. But if you've turned on the news lately, you may have heard some worrying references to the internet changing.
The Federal Communications Commission has agreed to move forward on a proposal. It could change the way we use the internet. At risk, the basic principle of net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Yes. Net neutrality. The only two words that promise more boredom in the English language are featuring Sting. And
I got a personal trainer, a personal assistant, and a personal agenda. You can't shut me up, you can't dump me down.
Thank you.
Ever since its exposure, the National Security Agency was thought to only survey the citizens of the United States. Over time, these files that Snowden has provided to news outlets have warned us all that the NSA has been spying, intercepting, and dismantling ideas and plans from every corner of this globe.
Governments are building a prison around it. We have to stop them, but how? They seem so vast and powerful. But government spies have a weakness. They can hack anybody, but they can't hack everybody.
Is somehow even worse.
As anticipated, the notice proposes to ground the net neutrality rules in Section 706 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
Oh my God, that is the most boring thing I've ever seen. That is even boring by C-SPAN standards. I would rather read a book by Thomas Friedman than sit through that hearing. I would rather listen to a pair of dockers tell me about the weird dream it had. I would rather sit down with my niece and watch Caillou, a children's show about a bald Canadian child who lives a life devoid of any incident. Neutrality is actually hugely important. Essentially, it means that all data has to be treated equally, no matter who creates it. It's why the internet is a weirdly level playing field, and startups can supplant established brands. That's how Facebook supplanted MySpace, which supplanted Friendster, which supplanted actually having any friends.
Oh,
Physically having friends, it was awful. You couldn't tap people's faces to make them go away. The point is, the internet in its current form is not broken, and the FCC is currently taking steps to fix that.
The FCC is endorsing new rules that could clear the way for a two-tier system.
The rules would open the door for the first time for internet providers like Comcast and Verizon to charge tech companies to send content to consumers more quickly. Netflix, for example, might pay a premium to ensure that its customers can stream movies more reliably at a cost a startup competitor might not be able to afford.
No, this cannot happen. How else is my startup streaming video service, Netflix, going to compete? It's going to be America's one-stop resource for videos of men getting hit in the nuts. You don't even know you want it yet, that's why it's brilliant. Ending net neutrality would allow big companies to buy their way into the fast lane, leaving everyone else in the slow lane, although telecom companies would prefer that you put it in a slightly different way.
When you say fast lane and slow lane, it's a good illustration, but what you really should be talking about is a fast lane for everybody and a hyperspeed lane for others.
Bullshit! If we let cable companies offer two speeds of service, they won't be Usain Bolt and Usain Bolt on a motorbike. They'll be Usain Bolt and Usain bolted to an anchor. And telecom companies will say they would never slow down a website's speed in order to get more money out of them. But let me tell you a little story. Recently, Comcast was negotiating with Netflix. This graph shows Netflix download speeds on various providers. That black line plummeting downwards was their speed on Comcast during the negotiation. See if you can guess when Netflix agreed to Comcast demands. I'll give you a hint. There. Shakedown. Oh, Netflix, nice show about life in a lady's prison. Such a shame if there was going to be something happen to your connection there. So frustrating that would be. And it's not just anti-corporate hippies who think that abandoning net neutrality is a bad idea.
The net neutrality movement is leery of big corporate players, but in this debate, it's on the same side as some of them.
Google, Facebook, Netflix, Amazon all signed on to this letter supporting net neutrality.
What's being proposed is so egregious, activists and corporations have been forced onto the same side. That's basically Lex Luthor knocking on Superman's apartment door and going, listen, I know we have our differences, but we have got to get rid of that arsehole in apartment 3B. Well, look, if everyone is against this, how is it even possibly happening? Well, consider who would benefit from this change. Cable companies. Verizon wants a two-tier system so badly, they sued the government to force the rule change that's currently being discussed. These companies have Washington in their pockets to a conveniently almost unbelievable degree.
Comcast has spent $18,810,000 in lobbying last year. That's more than any other company except for defense contractor north of Grumman.
So just to be clear, the ranking of who buys government influence is number one, military industrial complex, and number two, the provider of lizard lick towing. Troublingly cozy relationship between cable companies and Washington in any number of ways. I could show you the president golfing with the CEO of Comcast, or saying at a fundraiser at a cable executive's house that he'd been there so many times, the only thing I haven't done in this house is have Seder dinner. But perhaps the most succinct way is this.
The president has picked Tom Wheeler, a former top lobbyist for cable and wireless companies, to be the next chair of the Federal Communications Commission.
Yes. The guy who used to run the cable industry's lobbying arm is now running the agency tasked with regulating it. That is the equivalent of needing a babysitter and hiring a dingo. Here, thanks for stopping over. Make sure they're in bed by 8. There's $20 on the table for kibble, so please don't eat my baby. With the fact that they are practically overseeing their own oversight, it is hardly surprising that cable companies are basically monopolies now. A federal study found that 96% of the population had access to two or fewer cable broadband providers. It's almost as if they've agreed to stay out of each other's way like drug cartels. But hold on, no, that's not fair. I mean, if hypothetically a cable company like Comcast were planning to merge with a company like, let's say, Time Warner, it's not like their CEO would sit down and mark out who had which turf, right?
Both in video and in broadband, we don't compete with Time Warner. You have to start with that very fundamental point. They're in New York, we're in Philadelphia, they're in LA, we're in San Francisco. You can't buy a Comcast in New York, you can't buy a Time Warner in Philadelphia. So there's no reduction in competition.
Exactly. You can't reduce competition when nobody is competing. You could not be describing a monopoly more clearly if you were wearing a metal top hat while driving a metal car after winning second prize in a beauty contest. Maybe it's because of their lack of competition that they get away with providing such shitty service. We pay more for our internet service than almost anybody else on Earth, and yet the download speeds we get lag behind Estonia. Estonia, a country where, from the looks of it, they still worry about Shrek attacks. Is it any wonder that in a massive recent customer satisfaction surveys, Comcast and Time Warner Cable came in dead last. And when you look at the companies that were scored better than them, people were basically saying, yes, Bank of America took my home. Yes, Taco Bell gave me diarrhea. And sure, GM tried to kill me. But Time Warner and Comcast are the worst. They are the worst. And I know. The cable companies will say, oh, they support net neutrality protections, or they remain committed to the open internet, or just the tip. But let me remind you, they also say that they'll be at your house between 2 and 6 tomorrow afternoon. And does any part of you really expect them to f***ing turn up? And yet, our government looks set to end net neutrality and let these companies run hog wild. And we're just going to let them. And you know why? It all comes back to this.
It seeks comment on ways to construe additional language in Section 706 and even suggests using Section 230B to broaden the scope of the Commission's usurped authority.
Oh my God, how are you still so dull? And that's the problem. The cable companies have figured out the great truth of America. If you want to do something evil, put it inside something boring. Apple could put the entire text of Mein Kampf inside the iTunes user agreement, and you just go, agree. And that's why advocates should not be talking about protecting net neutrality. They shouldn't even use that phrase. They should call it preventing cable company f***ery. Because that is what it is. And it might actually compel people to want to do something. And the interesting thing here is there might actually be something you can still do.
The FCC will be taking public comment for 120 days.
That's right. The FCC are literally inviting internet comments at this address. And at this point, and I can't believe I'm about to do this, I would like to address the internet commenters out there directly. Good evening, monsters. This may be the moment you've spent your whole lives training for. You have been out there ferociously commenting on dance videos of adorable three-year-olds, saying things like, every child could dance like this little loser after 1 week of practice. Or you've been polluting Frozen's Let It Go with comments like, Ice Castle would give her hypothermia and she'd dead in an hour. Or, and I know you've done this one, commenting a video on this show saying, fuck this asshole anchor, go suck your president's d***. You're just friends with the terrorists. Now, I don't know what any of that means. But I don't think it's a compliment. But this is the moment you were made for, commenters. Like Ralph Macchio, you've been honing your skills, waxing cars and painting fences. Well, guess what? Now it's time to do some f***ing karate. For once in your life, we need you to channel that anger, that badly spelled bile, that you normally reserve for unforgivable attacks on actresses you seem to think have put on weight, or politicians that you disagree with, or photos of your ex-girlfriend getting on with her life, or non-white actors being cast as fictional characters. And I'm talking to you, Ron Paul fan 2016, and you, One Direction forever. And I'm talking to you, One Direction sucks balls. We need you to get out there and for once in your lives, focus your indiscriminate rage in a useful direction. Seize your moment, my lovely trolls. Turn on caps lock and fly, my pretties.
Have a weakness. They can hack anybody, but they can't hack everybody. Folks like the NSA depend on collecting insecure data from tapped fiber. They depend on our mistakes. Mistakes we can fix. The plan? Reset the net. Together, on June 5th, 1 year after Snowden's first NSA story, we all take one powerful step to turn off government spying and turn on freedom. Is simple. Find some territory of the internet that you can protect from prying eyes. Seize it and hold it. Are you a developer? Promise to add one NSA-resistant feature to your app. Are you an internet user? Promise to try one NSA-resistant privacy tool. Got a website or Tumblr? Run our splash screen on June 5th to show the world we're resetting the net.
Legitimacy of our democracy. And we want to make sure that people understand the context of this is that we have an illegitimate democracy and we need to have the people ruling. It's obvious the internet's a common carrier. It brings us all equally to the net where we can all go up without any prejudice or bias, without any kind of discrimination. We don't want to see that end. We want to see the FCC do its job and regulate the internet for the people, not to regulate it for the corporations. We don't want you driving on the influence of Comcast.
My name is Margaret Fowler. I'm also with PopularResistance.org. In the 21st century, the internet is our free speech, but in this country, we're losing our rights to free speech. The internet was created with our public dollars as part of the public commons, and we should never have been reclassified. We need to put it back in its post public space, reclassified. This is our.
Even owning the fact that they're getting nefarious. For God's sakes, last week the National Reconnaissance Office launched this spy satellite into orbit, and the logo they chose for their spy rocket, this is real, a giant octopus sucking the face off of North America. What the hell is that? We have no interest in your culture.
Hi, I'm former Congressman Steve Stockman. I want to talk to you a little bit about today about the new fad thing that's going through America and around the world. It's called global warming.
I do not think the science clearly supports the global warming theory.
I think this is the biggest scam since the Teapot Dome.
The science just simply doesn't back up the issue of global warming.
There is no such thing as global warming.
There's a lot of shenanigans going on with the data.
I don't see the data.
And I have not sat there with pages and pages of data.
The data are not supporting what the advocates are arguing. The last 15 years, there has been no recorded warming.
I think for the last 15 years, we haven't had any warming.
They say that global warming has stopped 16 years ago.
The world is actually either staying the same or maybe cooling.
Just a few years ago, what was the problem that existed? It wasn't global warming. We were going to all be an ice cube.
I haven't seen the reports that would get me to believe that anything's different than the patterns we have that we've gone through the time of records.
The problem with climate change is there's never been a day in the history of the world in which the climate is not changing.
If there's been any constant in human history, it has been climate change.
I absolutely do not believe that the science of man-caused climate change is proven.
I think it's an exact science.
It is not unanimous amongst scientists.
We're all told, of course, the debate is over and that all the scientists agree. As all of you know, that is simply not the case.
Science, Mr. Speaker, is never settled.
What I think on the left I get a little tired of is this idea that the sanctimonious idea that somehow science has decided all this and so therefore you can't have a view.
I don't believe that the science is at all settled.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not qualified to debate the science over climate change.
Neither he nor I are a climate scientist. You don't make good laws, sustainable laws, when you're making them on hypotheses or theories or unproven science.
I don't agree with the notion that some are putting out there, including scientists, that somehow there are actions we can take today that would actually have an impact on what's happening in our climate.
I believe the climate is changing. But I don't believe it's man.
There has been an increase in the surface temperature of the planet. The extent to which that has been caused by human activity, I think, is not as clear.
Someone is an ignoramus who would say that, oh, we had three hurricanes this year. This proves that somehow the climate is warming.
I do not believe that human activity is causing these dramatic changes to our climate the way these scientists are portraying it.
And that includes myself, until somebody calls.
The sanctimonious idea that somehow science has decided all this, and so therefore you can't have a view.
I don't believe that the science is.
I'm not a scientist.
I'm not qualified to debate the science over climate change.
Scientific opinion and shifting public and political opinion, denialists are increasingly in retreat. And it's all thanks in part to people like Neil deGrasse Tyson. As both an astrophysicist and host of the show Cosmos, he's made the science behind climate change accessible to a whole new generation of Americans. I had the opportunity to sit down with him and talk climate change reality and rhetoric and what it all says about our democracy.
It has been said that every great emergent scientific truth goes through three phases. First, people say it can't be true. Second, they say it conflicts with the Bible. Third, they say it's true all along.
Right.
And so there you have it. The evidence will show up when they need more evidence, more storms, more coastlines getting lost, people beginning to lose their wealth. People, if they begin to lose their wealth, they change their mind real fast, I've found, particularly in a capitalist culture. So I think that's what will happen. By the way, no matter what happens in climate change, our species will still be here. It's just that these thousands of years over which we created our civilization took place over a kind of climate that we are exiting right now, a climate range that we're exiting. And we are responsible for that, for exiting this largely, yes, there were storms and there were this, but in the mix of things, you had some assurance. It's remarkably stable, given the fluctuations that had existed previously in the history of the world. When the dinosaurs were here, there were no polar ice caps, all right? Talk about global warming. It was really warm when the dinosaurs were here, all right? Are you going to say, well, then, therefore, it's okay? Fine, but then don't expect to conduct civilizations the way we now do, because all the coastlines would get redrawn and all the coastal cities of the world would be underwater. Right. You know what I tell people? This wakes them into here in the New York metropolitan area. I say, you know, if we lose the ice caps, you know how high the water will be? I say, oh, maybe a couple of feet. No, it would come up to the Statue of Liberty's elbow. The one that's holding the Declaration of Independence. That's where the waterline will be. And I'm old enough to remember that scene in The Planet of the Apes where they're, oh, you blew it up, you destroyed it. You know, I don't want another Planet of the Apes. They come back and there's Statue of Liberty bobbing in the bay. You know, so I don't see people trying to repeal the law of gravity just because they're gaining weight.
I'm not a climate scientist either.
Yo, we're climate scientists, and there's no denying this. Climate change is real.
I didn't see people trying to repeal E equals MC squared because it somehow conflicted with their political philosophy. These are emergent scientific truths. So I'm disappointed when I look around and I see people cherry-picking the consensus of observation and experiment that has emerged in science. That is the anatomy of a scientific truth. By the way, there are always some results that dangle and linger, but the emergent scientific truth is when multiple research investigations by different people who would typically be in competition with one another, from different branches of science.
Right, who have an incentive not to confirm. That's a very important point.
Oh, yeah, there's
because the idea behind the whole, like, bizarre crypto conspiracy theory about global warming is that somehow everyone's, like, working in concert, when in fact everyone individually has the opposite incentive.
Yeah, in science, we compete all the time. All the time. And I get points. Not literal points, but I get status points for showing that you're wrong. For designing an experiment cleverer than your experiment, then I get credit for being not only smarter than you, but showing that your bombastic boasting of some new result is actually wrong. All right, so here we have people who would normally compete in different sort of cottage industries of climate. You know, you have the biological study of species, the propagation of species geographically or through one season into the next. What happens if it's not cold enough to knock off a certain kind of parasite that would have to start from scratch each year, but now it's starting from a higher base level of population. You bring it, so the biologists, the chemists, the geologists, the oceanographers, the glacial specialists, all these people come together. Well, they don't actually, they publish.
Right, yeah.
And you kind of say, hey, wait a minute, that matches that, and this points to that, and they got that from the south and that from the north. Whoa. There's an emergent scientific truth. There it is.
is one terrified schoolgirl away from being a very popular comic in Tokyo. About the degree to which the NSA has invaded our lives.
The NSA's activities reportedly did not stop with emails or cell phones of foreign leaders. The agency also spied on video games like World of Warcraft and Second Life.
Although we chose to illustrate that with unrelated first-person shooters. Anyway, what possible reason could the NSA have for this?
The agency feared that terrorists and other criminals would use the games to plot attacks.
Well, I guess that does make some sense. You know how Islamic terrorists do like to be surrounded by 72 virgins. Boom! Oh,
thanks for listening to Micropower Radio. This is Furious George, WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough, where we are beating into the night, beating up on the NSA and the FCC and anybody who's stomping on net neutrality, and also playing some fun beats, including a cool new Low End Theory 25, just been spotlighting some of that, as well as some other fun stuff. If you want to learn more about the Furious George Show, go to furiousg.blogspot.com. Or go to WCOMFM.org while you still can. And also, what else have we been talking about tonight? Neil deGrasse Tyson beating up on the fake scientists who are pretending to be experts on science and climate. Climate science. And other fun stuff, which is what we do here every Thursday around 10 o'clock to who knows how long, where we pick a topic or two and get crazy. I'm here in the house with DJ Eddie Abby E, and gonna be blasting some more of this new DJ Low End Theory mix. So thanks for listening. We'll see y'all soon. I'm Furious.
and sit on my box. Enjoy the view of this water where my lifeboat is sinking.
Leia! 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 Leia!
Take a look at this mess. Could you fake your reflection, child?
Mark Zuckerberg and company have debuted a brand new feature that could change the way we use social media. Aaron Vaughn has more.
First there was the news feed, then the timeline, then graph search. Now Facebook is rolling out their newest feature, LifePoint, which analyzes users' histories to determine exactly when things went wrong. The new feature combs through photos, status updates, likes, everything that you put on Facebook in order to pinpoint how someone irreparably ruined their life. For example, it might highlight your friend's spring break trip in 2003 when she took her first shot, or your cousin's engagement to a guy named Scott spelled with a K.
For the past 9 years, Facebook has served as a living record of our 1 billion users' horrible life choices. We have simplified the experience by distilling each user's mistakes into one easy-to-find moment when their lives began to unravel.
I sat down with Facebook's Larry Hahn to find out how it works.
It's easy. Just log on to Facebook, find a friend's profile page, and then we click here. It's a status update that says, finally quit my job today, bye-bye finance, Santa Fe, here I come.
And you can use it on your own page as well?
Of course. Let's see. My life point was breaking up with my girlfriend Kelly when I moved to California for work. She married one of her coworkers, but she's still the love of my life.
So Facebook knows that you'll never be that happy again.
That's right.
Some tech bloggers have already gotten the chance to check out the new feature.
Only Facebook could design such an intuitive system where I can say, this person is my good friend. I want to see how their life got so pathetic.
You know, I was never really sure where things started going downhill for me. Then LifePoint reminded me that I got a Boondock Saints tattoo in college, and I was like, oh yeah.
So, Facebook must have a lot of depressing information to work with.
Well, we look for sadness indicators, positive versus negative adjectives and status updates, whether you've liked a corporate entity such as Walmart or Arby's, and specific actions. Have you ever posted a selfie and then deleted it 2 minutes later? Notice the slow degradation of this user's profile picture. We can trace this trend back to their LifePoint.
And one of LifePoint's most buzzed about features is the Life Compare function, which lets you see how your mistakes stack up to others.
Here, I'm overlaying my graph with a graph of a childhood friend. You can see his life ended up much worse than mine, which is great.
And LifePoint isn't just for individuals, is that right?
Right, you can use it for relationships too. While the old Facebook could tell you when the relationship ended, LifePoint can tell you when it fell apart.
According to Facebook, anything with a profile has a LifePoint, so you can look forward to finding out when your favorite bands, TV shows, and companies started going downhill.
Thank you.